What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode 89 of Star Wars and Scotch. This has been your official
pre-show. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm not even going to fight it. Just
swallow with Tarkov wipes.
It's been a day, dude. Just a mental pregame.
It's been a day. It's 8:16 in the morning.
I know, Kevin. Hey, I've come to learn that I just absolutely hate myself, because not only is it Tarkov wipe day, I'm going to subject myself to that. For those that don't know, Tarkov is just a game that we just love to hate. And that I stream on the regular. And two, it was leg day. And so it was just like, I really just wanted to hate myself. Trying to get up the stairs this morning was terrible.
Can you tell me how great leg day is, though?
I love leg day, though. Oh, my gosh. It's fun. It's great. But it's terrible at the end.
Feel jubated. That's a nice mug.
Thank you. Yeah, this was, I don't remember where I got this from or who gave it to me, but a Mandalorian mug. Oh, I know where I got this from. I got this from the Disney store before they closed it here in Tampa. That's what happened. Yeah, I can't believe. Man, fuck you, Chapek.
He got his contract extended for 3 more years.
Son of a bitch. I can't believe it. Did you see that? Speaking of Chapek, did you see that they have pretty much deemed the Star Cruiser a failure?
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's been told you that 3 months ago.
I think we were pretty much on point with that one, Kevin. Just like I saw that article a couple days ago. I was like, not surprised.
Where's my Florida resident 40% off sale? Come on.
I mean, that's what I'm waiting for now. Like, what are they giving us too? Discounted rooms?
They can't get rid of it. It's there.
That's the other thing is, what are you going to do with it? Like, if it's considered a flop, if this is like the thing that just doesn't work, is this going to turn into the Disney water park that no one ever talks about anymore that was in the Seven Seas Lagoon?
Adventure Island. Oh, I forget what it was called. But
you know what I'm talking about, though. The one where fun horror videos come from.
They closed the other water park, too, during COVID, and they've not reopened it, and there's plans to reopen it.
Typhoon Lagoon? Beach,
Typhoon Lagoon.
Really? I think that one was like the more water park compared to
it was older,
one.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. So. But, yeah, Chapek got his contract extended, which blew my mind, because
I thought they were ready to vote his ass out.
Only, 40-something percent of the shareholders voted against him, so he had the majority.
Let me in that room.
Buy stock and you can be in the room. That's what I did.
Wait. Are you...
If you buy Disney stock...
Are you going full Elon on this one?
No, if you buy Disney stock, you can vote in the shareholder.
Yeah, but you
obviously
can't be in the room.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be like Aaron Burr. You don't get to be in the room where it happens.
I was in the room where it happened.
Mm-hmm.
No, you get invited to the call and they send you the form to whatever. But yeah, he got his contract extended, which sucks because... I want a new blood, but 3 more years of this. But yeah, Galactic Star Cruiser was considered a failure, which is super not surprising. But, I mean, at this point, they have to start selling packages for it that include, tickets to the parks and hotels and things like that. So I'm interested to see what they do.
Is it going to turn into the Star Wars, what's the cheesy guided tour with C-3PO?
Star Tours?
Is it going to become the Star Tours ride of... you know, of the
but they
the
update
hotels.
Star Tours to this day.
They do, but it's still very much so like outdated and old, and it's just like
it
feels like a lot of but I feel like a lot of people just like walk by like, ah, Star Wars, that's cool, and then just keep on going. Like how are they gonna make that sexy? How are they gonna make people want to go? Is it really just a price point, or is it just
is it a whole 2-day
Star Cruise thing? Like, is people just don't find that attractive anymore?
It's the price point. Look at what every TikToker said when the articles came out. Everyone did the same exact video. They're like, I could tell you what's wrong, and they went to the page with the price, and they were like,
sure. But all the ones that went, they said they had a great time, but they were also sent there on Disney
Dime.
Dude,
if you went for free, wouldn't you have a great time?
Yeah, I think I'd have a great time. But the more I see videos, the more I look at those experiences, like, I really feel like you have to take your kid. I don't really feel like that the experience you get was really designed for, like, hey, do you want to go have, like, a fun, like, Star Wars LARP weekend? Like, it just, it feels like there's a lot of things missing there. To where, like, they thought they could justify the price, and then when people look at it, like, there's just nothing there for me. Like, the people who actually have the disposable income, they're just like, how do I, where's the return for me on that?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what we said. Star Wars is for, well, we didn't say it, someone else said it, we agreed, but Star Wars, or Galactic Star Cruisers for rich people who think Star Wars is neat.
Yeah.
That's what it's currently tailored towards, and that's why it, you know, they didn't even make it 1 year, and there's bookings, you know, through July that you can get.
Did you just look? Really?
That's what the article said when I read it on Monday. The fall is wide open. Like, pick
a
day.
That's nuts to think. I bet you if you go look at any of the other property resorts, they're probably booked.
No, they are, because I called about going in the fall, taking the kids, and a lot of the resorts I want to go to are completely booked. So,
well, you know what? You could go to the Star Cruiser.
Well, I mean, honestly, we're going to go to Universal for Christmas this year, since Disney Christmas.
Oh, Universal Christmas is fantastic.
Ass. Disney Christmas sucked ass last year. Like, that's the nicest way I can put it. They threw a few wreaths and some garland on some shit and called it a day. But yeah, we're going to go to Universal because the boy is into Jurassic Park again.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, your son's been addicted to dinosaurs since he could talk, so.
But he finally watched Jurassic Park. So now he watched Jurassic Park. He's like, can we go to Jurassic Park? I was like, yeah, we'll go to Universal. They have Jurassic Park there. And then there's Marvel there. So I have a feeling his eyes will be open to this. Like, why didn't you take me here before? I'd be like, I have. You were just a tiny little guy. Exploring more of theme park world. But
what a crazy-ass tangent. So just to come full circle, fuck you, Bob Chapek.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that's
shutting down my
it.
Disney store at the the Tampa International Mall. So
I'll give Chapek credit where credit's due. He's a TV guy and a digital guy, and he has done right by Star Wars when it comes to Disney Plus and Marvel.
Well, I mean, sure, yeah, they did a great job of turning movies into TV shows.
I started Hawkeye yesterday, by the way.
Oh, it's so good! I need to watch. We're getting caught up on Stranger Things, so we're on episode. Episode 4.
Friday.
Very, very good.
The 2 new episodes drop on Friday, of the season.
I want to see Ms. Marvel. I've heard really good things, and I'm still trying to figure out why people are shitting on it. But overall, I'm excited to see that.
So. I have a pretty good idea why people are shitting on it, but I'll let you know, because I'm going to watch Hawkeye and then Moon Knight and then Ms. Marvel.
That's so good. Oh, man.
I just wish I watched Hawkeye during Christmas. That's my only complaint.
Yeah, it was a nice kind of like holiday vibe the whole way through. So it fit. It's a fun little Christmas watch. Maybe you should save it for Christmas.
They did a really good job making Jeremy Renner look exhausted.
Oh my God, he is so tired the entire time. You feel it. He's just, you can tell he's the guy who doesn't have the superpowers, right? And it really shows. You know, Hawkeye is just a guy who's really good at shooting stuff. Could that be a mutation? I mean, like, if we actually get the X-Men crossover, yeah, we could play into the he's a mutant and he's like Deadshot, or he has this Deadshot that he can do. But for the most part, he's just a man and he's just tired. And the same way they captured that with Obi-Wan, they did a great job with Hawkeye of just showing like,
I was like,
over it. He just wants to retire.
I was like, I feel you, dude. I feel you so
even
deeply.
Just like the bags under his eyes and stuff. It's like, I wonder if they just like kept him awake for a couple of days just to really get the blood to pool under his eyes.
Also, Rogers the Musical was the most
it was
New
so
York
cringy.
City, but that was the most New York City, like, let's capitalize on thing musical That was on point. 150%.
That's normal. Shit like that happens. No way. Oh, that's gross. Yeah, that was so cringy the entire way through, and I was pissed at myself for watching the end. Okay, so Kevin, I almost ruined it for you. Watch the finale. Watch the credits. Enjoy.
Of course. Always do. Well, sorry. Disney has a skip credits button now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for stuff that, because I think they realized people were just fast forwarding, so they're trying to make everyone's life easier.
I mean, like, that's what I used to do before, you know, Disney Plus was a thing with Marvel movies.
Yeah.
You just fast forward through the credits.
Back in my day, we fast forwarded.
Back when I had DVDs.
Do you remember the old CDs where some of them had secret tracks that if you went to the beginning of the first song and rewound, it would go to like a negative and they would have like a secret track or something like that?
I don't remember those days, Kevin. It's
yeah, you're
my
too
time.
Young for that.
Yeah,
too.
Apparently.
All right. Well, yeah, just dated myself again. Anyway, I hope you're all drinking delicious Kinks Coast coffee this morning, like Tim and I are. I just went up there this weekend and hung out. I was actually talking to Wayne about some good stuff in there, especially with the cold brew and whatnot. He's got some good ideas and plans, and we're working on stuff. So, if you didn't get your summer swells, I think there's like maybe 20 left last I checked. So you might want to go grab some of those and drink up your summer, because I don't know when cold brew will be back. I don't know. Maybe before the end of the summer, maybe not. So get your summer swells. I did talk to some people though who were like, I have Tim's, I got stuff at GCX, and now you want me to buy more?
Yeah, dude. I've got so much cold brew right now. It's not even.
I have a case of GCX in my fridge. So, head over to kinkshostcoffee.com. They also have some summer merch up. So you can check that out as well. And Summer Swells is still available. That's what I'm drinking today. Head over to kingscoastcoffee.com.
So it came back. The New
Yorker. That's Boston. .com is Boston.
Oh, park in the car and Harvard Yard.
Yeah,
all right.
while I wear khakis. I'm looking for my khakis while I'm wearing, I lost them in my khakis.
You know what I'm looking for, Kevin, is something new to watch right now that is Star Wars related, because I'm itching.
You've watched everything.
I know, I've watched everything. I don't want to wait, two more months until Andor?
Start reading Shadow of the Sith.
But I'm also on Brotherhood right now, so. I need to finish Ascendancy, so that's kind of like where I'm at right now. And then I went looking at comic books over the weekend, and I got overwhelmed. So, you know, like, sometimes you're like, I have this great idea, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to read some comic books today. And I went through, and I just typed in Star Wars, and it was so much, and I, you know, just closed the app, and I was like, well, that was a bad idea, because so, I just didn't know where to start.
They left all the old stuff in there too.
They did,
so.
And so I need to be better about like navigating the Marvel app when it comes to like trying to find the things I'm actually looking for. I really want to read through the Obi-Wan, the journals of Obi-Wan.
From haters, it's all still there. You can still go get your Legends content.
Yeah, it's all there, and it's really annoying because I was trying to sift through it all.
Mickey like did not delete it.
Maybe on desktop it'd be a little bit better. Mobile app can be kind of weird.
Audible even has, they're marked as Legends books.
Dude,
if you go on Audible.
There's a brand new, okay, so I was looking at Audible last night. There is a brand new Legends book that came out this year, and it's about Mace Windu. Give me a second. It's called, hold on, I'm going to find it. I was literally looking at it. Also, they have all of the new stuff coming up, so like the Battle of Jeddah, which is High Republic. They've got Convergence. Mm. They've got all of that stuff up there. There's a new book coming out called Shadowhunter, Star Wars Legends, Darth Maul. So that's going to be a legend. So I don't know how that one's going to work. It says that it's Star Wars Legends. And then here it is, Shatterpoint, Star Wars Legends. So what are these Star Wars Legends? Are these considered Star Wars Legends? Is this like EU expanded universe stuff?
They're not canon.
They're not canonical. So these are brand new.
Are you sure they're not reissues?
It's an Audible. And it's
Audible was bringing back reissues a lot.
Okay, so it says Shatterpoint Star Wars Legends, and it came out June 15th, 2021.
Originally published June 3rd, 2003.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, I had no idea they were doing this. So I learned something new today. So yeah. Audible is going to do
that's
covers
the Mace book.
Of the... Yeah, it's the Mace book.
I remember this.
And then they also have one about Darth Maul. So that's so cool that they're bringing these back? Why are they? Why is Disney allowing them to bring these back though?
A, they can make money because they own the IP. B, you know, it's better to give the fans options, if you will, than just silo them into what you're doing. Also, the word canon is very, it would be like, it's the equivalent of them saying like, no, MCU is the only timeline.
Well, I'd be like, yeah,
they're not going to do that.
What is it, 616?
Yeah, they're not going to do that. So,
I don't want to be rude to our Star Wars fans, but some of you guys are dumb. So the problem that I have with this is when we start talking about things that happened in the past and all, and we start having these more like in-depth discussions, people get confused. I myself get confused because I have a hard time remembering what actually happened or did it happen somewhere else.
Oh, I conflate all the time.
That's the frustrating part when you have these multiverse storytelling, especially in Star Wars. I feel like it's difficult because it was something that was considered not existent. Okay, so we're throwing that all out and then we're bringing it back and existing within the same canonical timeline is just very confusing.
Yeah, I get confused a lot and I'll conflate things that were legends and can't, and but I don't, at the end of the day, I like the more lore, the options. Also, the word legends lends itself to the fact that they're myths, which, you know, it's a big galaxy, and even watching the last few shows, we're realizing just how big it is.
Yeah.
And you know, I read a thing the other day that, you know, Giancarlo Esposito, when in the final scene of the last season of Mandalorian, when Luke is coming, you know, think about his point of view. He's never met Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker is considered a legend and a myth at this point.
Sure.
The guy who took down both Death Stars. Like, he's supposed to be like some sort of resistance rallying point or rebel rallying point that maybe isn't true. You know, kind of like the way the legend of Ragnar Lothbrok in Viking legend
is kind of like a people ghost.
People say it could be multiple people, but under the same name. So Luke, you know, that's kind of the assumption. And then all of a sudden, you know, the guy that took down the two Death Stars that went into the room and Palpatine didn't walk out and he walked out with Vader's body.
Yeah.
Is now cutting down all of your elite droid troopers that you were, you know,
yeah, as he comes out shitless.
And that's why the acting is so good, because the horror on his face while it's happening is priceless.
I like that though. The idea of these stories being considered stories, like they are these, like the game of telephone, you know, like one person saw it who then told someone else who then passed it down. And of course things get jumbled up and everything. I like that. I like looking at it as just like a story from an eyewitness. That's cool.
Yeah,
good idea. I like that.
It's similar to, you know, like I told you a few months back, the 300 comic, you know, that's a true story.
Yeah.
Of the 300 Spartans. That is a real and true story. I hope you would know that. Not you, but whoever's listening. And the thing that makes it awesome is the way Frank Miller wrote it and designed it is an old man sitting by a fire telling the story to a younger generation.
Yeah.
This is how it happened. I'm going to embellish the details. And, it, you know, things like the Immortals, they didn't look like that, but the Immortals were real. They marched to 10,000 strong. They were part of the Persian army. It's all true. But they weren't lizard-faced like demon creatures. But that's how the story would be told to you. So I look at Legends in a similar way, that if Disney hasn't explicitly made content for that part, and a lot of lore folks are doing the same exact thing, I'm noticing, you know, Old Republic content is being considered canon until Disney says otherwise, rather than previously when we were like, you know, that none of it's canon. I would rather do it that way and wait for them to retcon it than do it the way that we were doing it previously. So right now, a lot of the lore folks are just telling stories based on legends and attributing it to things happening in canon and whatnot. Like Darth Bane, we know Darth Bane exists. We don't know his story in the Disney universe, but we have his trilogy book.
Right, that story's already
legends
there.
Right, so, you know, and Disney seems to be going the wayside of like, hey, our version of the storytelling might not have been the best, so we're going to start borrowing more from legends because that's what the fans want. And when you look at, and this came out this week, it's in the book that I'm reading, The Shadows of the Sith book, Luke's Jedi Temple, we now know the planet it's on. Guess what? The planet's from Legends. Guess what? The planet was one of the fonts or one of the original starting places of the Jedi in the galaxy. It's the planet Ossus.
Yeah.
Ossus is in the Old Republic game. You go to Ossus It's one of the expansions. So they're doing it.
That's cool.
And they're doing it to, like, so that's why I think a lot of these lore folks are just saying, like, well, Disney's probably going to make a lot of this canon at this point. And tweak things along the way. And I think that's the exciting thing, is that a lot of the, there's nothing wrong with reading the comics and the books from the Legends stories, because a lot of it might end up coming true. You know, I'm joking with you, but also being serious, all the fan art with Mace, like, I don't know if you've seen it, a lot of people have been doing fan art all of a sudden, and it's all like Mace on the bottom floor of Coruscant, soaked in rain, his hands cut off, he's got like scars all over him, his eyes are red because, you know, he toys with the dark side. So I have a feeling, whether you like it or not, Tim, Mace is it will come back in the comics or something like that, not on screen.
Well, doesn't he save himself in the book?
And there's a book where he saves himself.
In his book, doesn't he save himself? Doesn't he, like, land through a building?
He uses the force.
He, like, force pushes himself through something? Yeah, someone told me in chat, and I was like, what the? There's no way. Like, that guy's dead. But, I mean, you know, that's Samuel L. Jackson. He'll find a way.
No, he lands, and he's like, that motherfucking emperor. I'm gonna beat his ass.
Too many Sith on this planet.
And then that's where you can take those ideas and start doing the fun theory crafting, which is what everyone does between seasons of stuff. So One of the big ones I'm seeing now is, you know, people pushing Disney to make a what if series for Star Wars. And one of the ones that everyone wants to know is, like, what if Yoda was part of the team that went to go apprehend the Emperor?
I've seen that meme.
Like, what if, like, yeah, they probably would have won and things would have been way different, you know? What if Anakin, you know, did end up killing Palpatine, or beat Obi-Wan and then ended up killing Palpatine too?
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be fun.
That would be really cool.
It'd be fun making an animated series.
But, like, honestly, like, that was fun because, like, the what if content, actually you ended up seeing it, you know, like, you got to see parts of it, which was really neat, even if it was just for, you know, a few minutes. So, like, I think we already have our what if, though, and that's already the animated stuff, the Visions. So I feel like we already have that. I feel like they could expand on Visions more, though, and it could be that what if. I feel like having Visions and then something else on top of it might be too much.
I think Visions is more experimental.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Visions it's a chance to bridge the gap to the anime community, because we know that Star Wars manga does very well.
Yeah.
So I think it's to bridge that gap to the anime community. And like you said, two of those episodes are already being discussed to be greenlit into series.
Right.
And again, if that opens up the door to non-canon series being available, the sky's the limit. Like, I have it right there, the Ronin book. Yeah. I read it, and it wasn't the best Star Wars book, but man, was it an interesting ass take on the Star Wars universe. That was non-canon. It didn't have anything to do with anything. You know, they changed the whole story. The Jedi were kind of the Empire and the bad guys, and the Sith were Ronin.
We saw necromancy in Star Wars. It's pretty cool.
Oh, there's a ton more of it in the book too. Like, just dead armies of undead everywhere. You know, but that's a Legends thing too, where I might not even be, again, this is where I get confused. There was that plague that one Sith Lord put out, and then Vader found it. I don't remember if this is canon or not. And then, you know, Vader wants to use it in the Outer Rim, and outbreak ends up on one of the ships, and all the stormtroopers turn into zombies. So it's all there. It's just a matter of how they use it going forward. And, you know, reading this book, I'm about two chapters in. I've seen some comments, like Molly posted, that we're going to learn why. You know, remember Dio from the little droid from Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we're going to learn why Dio is so skittish. It's because he was abused by Ochi. Ochi was the bounty hunter hunting Rey. And Molly made a comment yesterday on Twitter that said, like, you know, we're going to learn how Ochi, you know, or I'm reading how Ochi abused Dio. And that's why Dio is so skittish and scared, because he's like an abused droid. The story so far is focused on Rey's parents.
Oh,
and they're running. They're on the run. Yeah, they're on the run. Ochi's chasing them. So I'm still learning more, but that's where the story starts. And Luke is apparently in the book too. So,
well, yeah, he's on the freaking cover.
Yep. It's Luke. I think it's Lando too. Is that Lando?
There's Lando. It's Luke, and then there's like an acolyte or something that's there in the foreground.
Yeah, because by this point the Inquisitors are gone, so I want to know who the hell that is, unless it's from the past.
Oh, it could be like a ghost.
Because yeah. They at the beginning
one more book we're gonna have to read.
At the beginning they say the emperor, you know, the emperor's assumed to be dead, because obviously we know he's not.
Speaking of that, Kevin, the whole idea of like the eternal emperor, someone tagged me on Twitter, and they were talking about the idea of the emperor trying to get Luke to strike him down so that he could possess Luke, and that didn't work. So then he tried it on Rey, and so that whole idea of, because he needed Rey to strike him down to possess her, but I never thought that that's he was trying to do the exact same thing to Luke.
My theory
and
with that.
That's the other thing too, is that it, like, what if Shmi wasn't the, not Shmi, if the Emperor wasn't the first Emperor, what if he is just a continuation of the Eternal Emperor from times before?
So the reason I don't believe that is because he was trained by Plagueis, and that novel is canon, I believe.
Is it?
I believe Plagueis is the Plagueis novel canon.
I thought it came out before
Darth Plagueis novel canon. The character is canon. The novel is not. Okay.
Okay. So what if, and I just, this is me just theory crafting, because I saw this last week, and I wanted to bring it up to you. I thought this was really interesting. What if he isn't who we think he is, and he is the actual Eternal Emperor, and he's just been continuously hopping, and that's what he tried to get Rey to do?
I don't know how Darth Plagueis would come into play in all of that, but is it possible? Yes, because Vitiate existed for 3,000 years in Legends canon, jumping from body to body, and he would always go to the body of suitable strong warriors. So when you meet him for the second time in the Old Republic game, he's in the body of this ruler of this part of the, it's actually a different galaxy, it's not the galaxy far, far away, it's a different one. He's the ruler of this planet area thing, and he's like the planet's strongest warrior, and you know, their most noble leader, and that's the body he chooses to possess. So
that's the one thing with Darth Plagueis, though, is Plagueis wasn't a warrior. He was a scientist. He was a researcher. He was a very, very smart individual. He was from the banking clan. He was that race. So they're just really smart. They're not very strong. So that would kind of go against that theory, unless he needed the knowledge from Plagueis to, you know, continue on to become better.
I'll meet you halfway. Sidious is known to be a student of Sith lore and the past.
Mm-hmm.
In Battlefront, remember, he has all those hidden vaults everywhere with
that's also an aftermath.
Like,
it's
right. So we know he had all these vaults, and they had relics from the Sith Empire in there.
Yep.
We know he's been to Korriban.
Yes.
So he's probably communed with the dead Sith Lords in the Valley of the Dark Lords. And we also know he was traveling around the galaxy doing shady shit.
Yeah.
And we know he didn't really care about ruling the Empire as much as he cared about gaining Sith knowledge.
Yes.
I feel like that's painfully evident. So my point would be, is if you had all these old tombs, you know, the legions on Exegol were named after ancient Sith Lords, Darth Vader, Darth Revan. Uh-huh. So he obviously knew who they were. The concept art showed like the etchings of the Dark Lords all over the temple on Exegol.
Mm-hmm.
Again, why else would you go to Exegol? So my theory is that he learned Vitiate's dark rituals to live forever, air quotes, and he was putting it into practice. And I have a feeling Plagueis is probably the one who gave him the knowledge that it exists. Might not have known it for himself, mm-hmm. but said, you know, ages ago there was a Dark Lord, blah, 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 you know, like that, you know, and I've still not completed my, you know, and that could be part of Acolyte, honestly. Is going around and finding this stuff. What if she's like, you know, like reads a tomb from, you know, the ancient Dark Lord of the Sith, Darth, he had like 75 names, but Vitiate was his original name. You know, like it could be, and you know, what's cool about him, interspecies. He wasn't limited to humans because
jump around to whoever.
He started out as a Sith pureblood and ended up as a human. So it's more, you know, the spirit, and we know for a fact that Sidious is obsessed with finding a vessel for his spirit. Obsessed. Mm-hmm. Which is why I think all the cloning and stuff in all of these shows leads back to him. Grogu leads back to him because he needs that vessel to inhabit.
I think the cool thing is now looking again at episode 6, the whole like he wanted Anakin or he wanted Luke to strike him down. He wanted him to kill him. And so like that was the coolest thing is like he wasn't able to do that.
Right.
And so like that makes that whole like blue explosion and the screaming and everything even more impactful now because it's like no, that was his spirit just being just blown out from his body,
ejaculated from the Death Star. No, but that's exactly what Vitiate does. He like moves on to the next host. So my theory is that he had temporary bodies to inhabit, and that his spirit would actually destroy them. Hence, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to. He's just hopping around.
Yeah. So like he blew up and maybe he went into one of the clone bodies from what's his face? The guy in 7 and 8. I can't remember his name. The guy running the First Order.
Snoke.
Thank you. He drops into maybe one of the Snoke bodies, you know, which technically is a Luke clone deformed from Luke's hand is what we're assuming at this point. Because if he had Luke's hand, we think he was making the Snoke bodies from Luke's hand. Which means
that is a theory going around.
Yeah, and I like that theory. So, you know, that could be how this is playing out. And then the bodies, like his spirit would just make them crumble like they couldn't hold him.
I wonder if we're going to get any more info on that with Survivor. I wonder if we're going to learn more about the whole like spirit hopping or the ability to like inhabit a body. Things like that, because I'm gonna die on this hill. The idea of Starkiller coming back in Survivor just makes so much sense. Like, why wouldn't you put an iconic video game Star Wars video game character in a brand new Star Wars video game that everyone's gonna be fucking playing? Anywho, the idea of cloning, if that is true, is going to be become very, very popular within Star Wars talk. And so I wonder if that's gonna go even further and try to explain the whole Emperor story part. Hopefully. I really hope that. I hope they don't waste any time with Mando season 3 about that. I hope they either do it in Bad Batch or they do it in Fallen Order or
Mando
in
season
Survivor.
3 will be Mandalorian focused.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing is I hope we don't get like any like side questing or we don't like get one of those filler episodes where it's just like we're not going to give you the main quest because it's only actually going to take you 4 episodes. So here we'll give you a couple extra ones and so they go off for an episode. It's like, "Oh, cloning." I'm like, "Wait, that doesn't make any sense." So hopefully that doesn't happen.
I think Bad Batch will be the next big bombshell when it comes to the cloning operations.
It makes sense. The way they ended it, it just fits. You know, why wouldn't you talk about cloning with when your main characters are clones?
Plus, they're at the center of that as characters.
Yeah.
It's them. It's their story.
Exactly. And the whole Omega part, God, I need to know more about that. I also need to know how does it tie into Boba Fett? Because I feel like then we'll get some information as to what's going to happen with Book of Boba if they continue on with that, which I think they're going to with how well that season did.
Yeah. I honestly hope Obi-Wan's done. I don't want a second season.
Oh, dude, man, I'm going to just burst your bubble then, Kevin. Did you know originally Obi-Wan was supposed to be a
trilogy.
3-part movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what happened was is they saw how poorly Solo did, and they're like, well, fuck that. We're not going to do it. So they chopped it up and they found out about Disney Plus. And so they're like, okay, so we're going to throw this on Disney Plus. And so apparently what we got was essentially the first movie.
Yeah.
So I think with, what did they say? It was like 18 and a half million people or something saw Obi-Wan on day one or something stupid. It was some just stupid number with how well it did. And so I don't think it would ruin, it would really put a damper on the momentum that Star Wars has right now within, you know, the streaming verse that we find ourselves in. And so I think we're going to continue on. The way that Hayden Christensen has talked about continuing on as Darth Vader,
I want a Vader series.
I agree with you, but I don't think we're going to get a Vader series. I think Vader, unfortunately, the more I've thought about this, I think they're going to use Vader as a piece to create hype within certain shows. Obi-Wan, for example. What if Dr. Aphra is another show that I feel like would do very, very well. Point being, it's a female character. You have a female lead who's super adventurous, really spunky, who gets into shit, and Vader's right there. Vader's going to be these things that he comes in, he's like, hey, I'm here, and then just, you know, kind of moseys on out. I don't think that they're going to use Vader as a main piece because of how much excitement he creates, unfortunately. I want a Vader series so badly. I think the comics are really, really cool. Even Vader Immortal, like, again, Vader Immortal is not about Vader. Like, it's about Vader, but you don't play as Vader. Vader shows up and then leaves. He's never the main character in anything. He's always an addition to something else. He enhances. He's a seasoning. He's seasoning for shows and for video games and stuff. You kind of sprinkle in Vader here and there, and people get so excited because he's that character that we love. Like, as scary as he is, I mean, like, just think of the excitement when you just saw him just dragging people down the street. You were terrified at the same time. You're like, holy shit, he's doing this. This is so crazy. It's the same way in Vader Immortal. Vader shows up and you're terrified because it's this massive 7-foot robot that, you know, is talking to you. James Earl Jones' voice is coming out of his chest. It's nuts.
Vader is the greatest villain of all time, so... I mean,
the V word.
I mean, he's a villain, Tim.
I sense the good in him, Kevin.
The internet disagreed with... Oh. Well, he has a redemption arc. He's a villain with a redemption arc. That's a thing. You know, it's not like Thanos...
Let go of your hate, Kevin.
It's not like Thanos, where there's a huge argument in the middle of it where people are like, oh, was he really that wrong?
Dude, I mean, he was looking out for the entire universe.
Yeah, but genocide usually isn't the answer.
I mean,
just saying. Vader's the greatest
argument right there. Genocide. All right, you win.
Eugenics. I don't know. You can call it whatever you want. Vader is the greatest villain of all time. He's the most recognizable in pop culture. You know, he now spans 3 to 4 generations of fandom. And I do agree with you that they need to protect him, but I also think that people didn't expect this side of Vader, and now that they've seen it, the door's kind of open, and if you've read the comic books, you're very excited because you're like, finally, we could see this version of Vader played out on the screen. Yep. But if you haven't read the comics, this is all new to you. Yeah. This is like, and I had to, you know, I was telling my wife while we were watching, I was like, this is how he acts in the comics. Like, he's not this little goody two-shoes, but I said he also has moments of weakness. Where, you know, he thinks about Padme and blah, blah, blah. So, and he has Padme's ghost at one point. So, it could be said that on the one hand, you're right. Yeah, they should protect him and use him as an additive instead of a main character. But at the same time, you know, like a Vader miniseries would clean up on Disney+.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like the whole story arc of him trying to resurrect Padme is so awesome. And like, I really want people to experience that. And unfortunately, unless you play Vader Immortal, you're not going to experience it. That is where that story lies, which I think is so cool about Star Wars storytelling, is that you have to sometimes go play video games in order to get that piece of content if you really love it. But there's so many other cool things that he does that again, I think it would be really cool to showcase on screen. I just don't know if there is enough for just Vader by himself to have his own show. That's why I think like having a Dr. Aphra or having like another Obi-Wan, where it's maybe they don't get to fight again, but the idea of, you know, showcasing what Anakin is doing while Obi-Wan's doing that.
Dr. Aphra is a great character that no one knows about. Now, Dr. Aphra fits very well into what they're trying to do with Star Wars. And, you know, she brings that Indiana Jones element to it you know, we have Andor, who's basically James Bond at this point, or Mission Impossible. And now we can have, you know, Indiana Jones. But the best way to introduce her would be to bring her into the Vader series like she's in the comics, because then people would know who she is because they're watching the Vader series, rather than be like, we're making a Dr. Aphra show. And everyone goes, who?
That's interesting. So you do the inverse.
That's how they did it with Ahsoka, because if you hadn't watched Clone Wars, everyone's like, who the hell is this Jedi that all the Star Wars fans rave about all the time? And then she shows up like a badass. She does her thing, and now, like, I have my own show. And then they brought her back again in Boba Fett. So it's an easy way to bring
what
characters.
What if they used Obi-Wan to introduce her?
You could do that.
I'm just trying to like, I think about it. So I'm the one last
maybe
week.
Maybe she's digging up lightsabers on Tatooine.
Oh my God. The amount of lightsabers that are in the ground on Tatooine is absolutely ridiculous. I thought that at the end of Obi-Wan as well, when Reva puts her freaking lightsaber in the ground, it's just like another one to add to the sand collection.
The Reva Skywalker memes.
No, I haven't seen that. You know what's fucking crazy? Speaking of Reva and Moses, it's crazy how people started out with so much anger towards this character, and now they can't shut up about getting on her own standalone show. It's absolutely insane how quick this fandom can just flip on themselves.
Danielle was like, I don't know if I hate her because she's Reva or I hate her role. And I was like, if she's making you question it, that means she probably did a good job at playing the role. Which is why you don't like her, because Danielle tends to like get personally offended by characters she doesn't like in the story.
Oh no,
yeah, like I'm not gonna give Stranger Things away, but there's someone in Stranger Things that she's like, oh, I hate him, and I'm like, yeah, because they're a good actor. That's why. So it's the same thing with Reva. Like Reva did such a good job that I think a lot of people hated her, but they hated Reva, not Moses Ingram. So I thought she did superb for what was laid out. I can understand why people, you have to understand something too, Tim. How many of the Star Wars fans like are obsessed with this rule of two and probably hate the Inquisitors as well?
I don't understand why. Like there's such a cool, like it's honestly, it's what I expected the Knights of Ren to be. I wanted Knights of Ren to be this. That was the whole
loophole.
Like, yeah, it's really
Knights
cool.
of Ren are awesome, but you got to find out about them in the comics.
Yes, I know. That's what's so frustrating. But like, we get to see that on screen, and like, that's what the Knights of Ren should have been on screen, and they nailed it with the Inquisitorial Squad. And so it's very frustrating. The other thing about her that I think is interesting as well is that she was originally, and we talked about this, she was supposed to die. She was also not supposed to know that Vader was Anakin. In one of the original writings for the show, she was supposed to die, which I thought, you know, it would have made sense. The other thing that didn't make sense for us that we talked about was the fact that she knew that Vader was Anakin. How did she know that? No one could have told her. She only saw Anakin for a brief moment in the temple as he was slaughtering all the younglings and then peaced out. There's no way that she could have known that. So that was a very interesting piece to me. And so, which makes me think that she really will get, she will get reintroduced into another show. I don't think she's going to get her own standalone show, but the fact that she has all of this, the deep character building that they gave her, like they really like laid out a really good character for us and created all these things that she knows. She's got trauma. She knows that Vader's Anakin, so she just hates him. Getting reintroduced, I really think we'll either see her in either Fallen Order, which is now Survivor, or we're going to get her in the Cassian Andor show.
I could see her in Fallen Order. I think that would be the best place for her. Bad Batch, maybe, probably not. Cassian Andor.
The only thing that I think it would be cool to see her in is because I feel like you might have to throw a little bit of the Star Wars Jedi seasoning in there just to kind of keep people interested as to like what else is going on.
I mean,
and like
that's
a decent character, yeah, right. And that's a decent character to kind of like throw her in because she's kind of like that gray Jedi now, right? Like she dabbled in the good side, she dabbled in the dark side, and she's a little broken. Like, why not throw her in there to get into some of the shit with the other characters?
Yeah, because even this season of Mandalorian, aside from Grogu, I don't think we'll have any Force users in the show.
Mm-mm.
I think if
they say really really heavy on the Mandalorian theme, then no, there shouldn't be any type of Jedi.
They need to. They spent two seasons building up the story. I'm playing Knights of the Republic 2 on my Switch, which, by the way, plays really well.
Okay.
Really well. And it's not an action game. It's a turn-based.
Yeah, that's where I get lost now. As an older person, I find turn-based just so boring.
But it's more Q-based. It's not really turn, because you do get extra hits based on your stats and whatnot. So it's not necessarily like turn-based and like a choose your move like Final Fantasy. It is dated in that sense, but it's smooth and it plays very nice. And I've really enjoyed, I don't know if it's the nostalgia going back.
It's the nostalgia.
I'm enjoying it. Like I look forward to playing it in bed and stuff. So it's nice. But, you know, looking at where were I completely lost my train of thought talking about how much
so
I love the game.
You got so excited about Knights of the
I know, because I was thinking about where I was in the game and going back to it. I'm like, all right, you know.
Okay, so we were talking about how pissed off you were about Grogu and them building out for two seasons.
Thank you. So gotcha. in this game and the one before it, they do such a good job of bringing the Mandalorians into the universe, because this was our introduction to them, was the Mandalorian Wars and things like that. So remembering how rich their lore is and how you get to interact with them in these games, that's what I want season 3 to be like. I want that feeling. I want the feeling. I want the world to understand how cool the Mandalorians are, not just because of Din Djarin,
right,
not just because of the armorer. There's a whole culture that is missing from that
there.
Show.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's what I want to. And you know, I do think we'll meet Sabine. So the chance of meeting Ezra is there as another Force user, but Sabine would be the main focus on that.
I truly think that we will not see Sabine unless it's going to be later on. I don't know, because I feel like they want to keep that for Ahsoka. They showcased her at the Ahsoka panel. I have a
But they like introducing characters.
No, they like introducing them on another show. The thought of Sabine Wren showing up, that would make sense. She's already met with Katie Sackhoff's character. She's already been with Bo-Katan. They know each other. She gave her dark saber. Ooh, this would be interesting.
Yeah, Sabine returning.
We also don't know what happened to Sabine's mom.
No, I'm assuming she was killed in the bombing.
We don't know what happened to her mom or her dad. Right?
Dad dies,
like,
doesn't he?
Does dad die at the end? No, isn't dad like the really nice guy who doesn't want to fight?
Yeah, he's the pacifist.
Yeah, but does he die at the end of that episode? No.
No,
no, she's
like,
bye, I love you, and then they leave. Yeah. So they're, I mean,
oh, the brother's the traitor.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't he betray them?
Cousin, brother, somebody. There's a lot. So that's the whole thing. It's like the family hierarchy and all this and the clans.
It's Game of Thrones in space.
It's a lot. It really is Game of Thrones. Man, this is, I never really like thought that they could introduce Sabine.
She makes sense.
She does make sense. Because like, what if she's hanging out with Bo?
Not even hanging out, but what if she returns? What if she returns with her parents? You know,
yeah, but the last time we left her, she was on a mission to find Ezra. And so that's the one thing that, like, I would assume that she was hellbent on finding Ezra and Thrawn. Why would she give up that hunt with Ahsoka to then go
found
help
Ezra?
Out? No, there's no way. I don't think they would take that away from us. The whole idea of
what,
like,
if just Sabine shows up?
Yeah, but why? That's the whole thing. Is like
Mandalore. It's her home.
I get that, but Mandalore's already been lost, and so like the idea of going back.
But we're going back.
Mando's going back, not the all of the Mandalorian people are going back to Mandalore. It's just
not
Mando
all, but,
and Bo, and so
if,
that's the
if
one
the
thing
word
that
gets
out.
Remember what Bo said: don't believe everything you've heard. If the word gets out that Mandalore isn't this poisonous, you know, gas planet at this point that's just destroyed, and it's just needs to be rebuilt, that word will spread quickly, and then people will vie for the throne, and then the Darksaber comes back into play. And I have a feeling that the duel with Vizsla didn't count because he was disgraced from taking his helmet off within the way.
He took his helmet off so many times.
Right, but he admitted to the armorer that he took it off, and now she's like, you need to go purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah, but that was for Mando.
Right, so that's why I think the duel with Mando and Vizsla didn't count, which means Vizsla could come back into the picture as someone vying for the throne, because Vizsla is from one of the original ruling families of Mandalore.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know if there's a limit on how many times they can duel. I mean, he could show up again and be like, I want to duel your ass again.
Yeah, I have no idea how that.
Yeah,
that
that's really interesting.
Works.
Man, I don't know. I'll have to.
He's also the descendant of the only Mandalorian Jedi.
No, you're right. His character is going to come back. I think it would be really weird, though, if he takes his helmet off and it's Jon Favreau.
I don't think he'd take his helmet off.
But how funny would that be if it was like Favreau just leaned into it being him the whole time?
I also want to know when they instituted that rule, because when they're Death Watch, they take their helmets off all the time.
That's also the thing that makes me question that. So
it might be some sort of cultish.
I think it's a trap.
I think
it's a goddamn trap. What if the armorist, she like, this was the plan the whole time, was to find out how to get the Darksaber back. And so she knew that it was Mando and that he has it. And she came up with this whole plot on getting him back to Mandalore to get the Darksaber there. And so she came up with this whole thing of you having to go purify yourself in these waters.
Well, there's also the theory that the armor is Rook Cast, who was Gar Saxon's right-hand woman.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
Yeah.
Which is a great idea, which then leads into the whole, it's a trap.
Mm-hmm.
What if?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So, I mean, you could have the Vizslas in play. You could have the Saxons in play. You could have the Wrens in play.
This is going to be Game of Thrones. Oh, I'm excited.
It's Game of Thrones. And that's the ones we know about. Can you imagine how many other houses from Mandalore would be like, man, the planet's fine? Oh, well, I would like to challenge for the Darksaber, too. It's going to be like a conga line.
Who do you think Dinklage is going to play?
I don't know. Might be an alien.
Could you imagine if Peter Dinklage showed up? That would be awesome.
Might be an alien.
I think that would be great. I would love to see Peter Dinklage on the space Game of Thrones show.
Ulrich Wren is Sabine's dad. I mean, you had Tristan was her brother. I mean, you have, oh my God, there's so many.
It's going to be a lot. I really never thought that they could turn Mando season 3 into just a Game of Thrones.
Because I have a feeling they want to make sure that they introduce Mandalore for the future of storytelling.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether
definitely.
It's the past or the future.
I think they
franchise.
Go backwards. I think they establish what happened in normal Star Wars storytelling. We always establish what happened before we figure out how we got there. And so we always get the end. And so this is the end of Mandalore. So we think, right? We assume the planet's been glassed. There's not much left to save. What if, okay, so we get the ending of Mandalore. We know that everyone lives happily ever after on Mandalore, whatever. Well, then let's go get all the cool shit that happened before. And so that's where, like, you know, again, you could get your animated series, you could get your shorts, you could get whatever. We could get an entire, like, actual Mandalore show that is talking about, you know, it's all the cool shit. It's all, you know, the Mandalore the Great and all we could get, finally, we could see the great battle between the Jedi and the Mandalorians.
Jedi Mandalorian Wars.
So, you know, like, that could be sick, man. I mean, like, we got introduced to that at the end of Clone Wars, right? We get to see Maul inside the actual holding chambers that they use to hold Jedi inside of. Like, the Mandos, why would they lean into that more?
Mandalorians also in Legends were part of the Sith Empire when the Republic and the Empire coexisted.
That'd be cool. I would love to see that. It makes sense. It makes sense.
But they
to
were
get...
free. They were one of the only races that the Emperor didn't consider himself the ruler of, that they were just...
They're just like contractors.
Partners. Yeah, because he didn't want to fight. He did it because he didn't want to fight them.
That makes sense. They're just guns for hire.
Yeah,
that's how I've always seen Mandalorians. They've always, to me, have always been those, like, those mercenaries, those people that you never really want to mess with, but you love having on your side.
That's how they made their money in Legends was, and that's how they became so wealthy, was because they were guns for hire as entire clans. So the clan would basically say, you know, you can rent my army for, you know, X amount of credits, and they would go out and they make an ass load of money and do a ton of killing and murdering, which is, you know, they're basically Vikings in space, so they love that shit.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and then, you know, make a ton of money. And that's how they became so wealthy and powerful, was because they were mercenaries, but the mercenary work was part of their culture. It's very interesting. It's like one of the coolest, like, sci-fi races. You know, it's similar. I don't want to say similar to it because they're more like pirates, but the Nihil are, you know, similar, but they don't do it for hire. They just go rob and steal and kill and pillage. So it's similar in that sense. John Williams is retiring after Indiana Jones.
I saw his retirement party, or it was his 90th birthday party, and the orchestra that he was conducting for his birthday party, they wanted to play the Imperial March. And so he conducted the Imperial March with this orchestra, and he said that was one of the best renditions he had ever heard of the Imperial March. And so I saw the video on TikTok. It was goosebumps. The entire time. It was so good. But just to see him, everyone's like, I wish I could move like that when I'm 90. And he's just up there and he's just having a great old time.
You ever see the video where the two kids are playing?
I saw that when they were playing the French horn outside
his
house.
He comes out and says hello to them and thanks them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's had, to say he's had a great life would be freaking an understatement and a half. He is the reason that, you know,
he's inspired generations.
Star Wars and Indiana Jones. They're not the same movies without him. They're not. Like, you can't even argue that, because they're not the same movies. Like, he makes them what they are, and it shows you the importance of a score.
yeah,
and why it's so meaningful, because the things you remember from Star Wars, yeah, you remember scenes, but you also hum the music of all of those scenes
every
all
time,
the time,
dude.
I was getting sushi in New York with my son, and we have chopsticks, and I'm like, and I'm like, while we're, you know, doing it with the chopsticks, and Danielle's like, is that Star Wars? I'm like, yeah. So, like, you know, that's just, it's part of our culture. So he did a phenomenal job of making that come to life. So yes, rest, Mr. Williams, rest.
He's not
done
dead.
So much. I know, I'm dead. Saying rest, like retire at okay, freaking just, 90 years old.
All right, just want to make sure listeners know he's not dead. Okay, he's retiring.
Yeah, this is not the James Earl Jones appreciation pose that scares the shit out of me
Thank
every
you
time.
So much for what you've done.
What else we got in the news? Taika's movie is not shooting this year. I'm excited for Taika's movie because I think he thinks just like us. I think he keeps talking about how he wants to tell stories with new characters.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff, which leads me to believe that he's going to go either like completely left field and like tell a story of nothing that's ever existed before, or he'll be telling some of the higher Old Republic stories.
People are trying to convince me that this movie was going to be about Jar Jar Binks. And so to those people,
he made a joke
you.
About it. He made a joke about it. That's why.
But then there was articles that were written about it. And then people were tagging me and going, look, Jar Jar is coming back. So I just want to tell you guys, no.
You know who's obsessed with Darth Jar Jar theory that just learned about it?
Who?
Pete.
Oh, God.
He keeps sending me all these Darth Jar Jar videos. He's like, have you seen this? I'm like, Pete, this is like 10 years old, if not more.
God damn
like,
it.
We've been talking about Darth Jar Jar. You're just getting into this.
Sweet summer child.
He's like, this is amazing. I want to see this show. I'm like, oh, Lord. Liam Neeson, that lion sack of shit. I love him. Don't
Holy
conflate.
Shit. Well, he's never going to come on the show now.
He wasn't coming anyway. There's certain people I know are just like me saying like, yeah, Harrison Ford will come on. Come on, this is not happening.
I fucking hate this.
Yeah, why am I here? Liam said, I certainly didn't want anyone else playing Qui-Gon Jinn, and I wanted to show my respect for Mr. Lucas and that mythical world he created. Plus, Ewan is a pal, and I loved working with him during the Phantom Menace 25 years ago. So,
oh, that's cool.
What a liar. And last but not least in the news, Star Wars Celebration tickets go on sale tomorrow for Star Wars Celebration in London. Tim and I have every intention of being there. We've already started submitting stuff for Star Wars and Scotch and whatnot. So if you're going to be in London, then we should say hello. Also, if you're a Star Wars creator or you just like Star Wars, you should probably look at GCX next year, because if you can't make it across the pond, Tim and I have plans for all of you.
Also, if you head on over to shop.starwarscelebration.com, all of the merch that they didn't sell at Star Wars Celebration is available for order. And there's some really good stuff on there. So, like, for, like, decent price, like, there's, like, you know, Darth Vader shirt for, like, $32. So, I mean, like, you're going to end up paying convention prices for this merch. But if you weren't able to make it out to Anaheim, definitely think about getting some stuff, because there's some really cool shirts up here. There's even some, like, there's freaking Anakin and Obi-Wan flip-flops, Kevin. I'm getting you that for your birthday.
I might have to get you.
It says, I don't like sand on the bottom of the flip-flops.
Yo, when I give you this hardcover Star Wars original storybook, I want your full feedback on the next episode of Star Wars and Scotch after you're done reading it.
I'm going to have to. Is it really going to blow my mind? Am I going to have like a whole new
It's
appreciation
not
going to
blow your
Wars?
Mind. No. It's not like that. It is just so interesting to see where the story started and then where it ended up. And then the fact that someone took the original story and turned it into a comic is so interesting. You know, it's just cool. It's just interesting how different it was when George Lucas originally conceived it. And where it ended up because of all the people that got involved along the way.
That's cool.
It's just cool. It's cool.
It's cool.
But yeah, I want your review.
I will give it to you in its full entirety, Kevin. I promise.
All right. We're getting out of here. Thank you so much for checking out episode 89 of Star Wars and Scotch. There is an episode next week. We'll have the folks from Most Things Kenobi on next week.
Yes,
the week after that, we are taking a week off. We had intended, we always take GCX time off, but Obi-Wan, we couldn't do it. I am out of the state. I will be at a cabin in the Smoky Mountains with hopefully no cell phone service. So I will not be able to
record. That was the last time we heard from Kevin.
That'd be hilariously on brand. But yeah, we're gonna take the week off. We're both gonna just chill. There's nothing going on really in Star Wars universe. Till we say we're gonna take the week off, and then that
time to, yeah, that's whenever
that Wednesday morning they're like bombshell announcement.
Have him be like typical.
I won't know about it until I get back. So, but yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Make sure you go over to fb.gg/darkness429 Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. ish Eastern. It's a Tarkov wipe, so yeah, happiness and all around, and joy, and
the servers are dead, so it's fine. I get a
yeah. When Ben yesterday was telling you, and he was like, "Yeah, the servers go up in the morning." I'm like, "They won't be up by the time Tim has to start his stream. He's gonna be sitting there with the background talking to his chat and being like, I am dreading this." So make sure you hang out with Tim during this Tarkov wipe. It should be a fun one. I'll probably hop in now that it's wiped, and then I'll play for a week, and then I'll fall behind and not play till the next wipe. So and everything I do is on raredrop.co, so you can head over there. New website coming Q3.
That's cool.
Listing out all of our services and all the cool stuff that we do and get to be involved in, so that'll be fun as well. And if you want to get with us, you can go Star Wars and Scotch on Facebook or at Star Wars Scotch on Twitter. You can also join the Rare Drop Discord. There's Star Wars channels for High Republic, Old Republic, spoilers, you name it. It's all in the Rare Drop Discord. So we'll put the Rare Drop Discord link in the show notes if you're listening or watching. But thank you so much. You have a great, great week. We will see you for episode 90 next week. Tim?
May the Force be with you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.